The weekend is officially here, live from the Public House at 3rd and King. This is Weekends in the Park with Marty Lori and Pecan Patrick Connor on KNBR 680.
Hi, we have our question for today. The total number of pitches, not pitchers, pitches that are thrown in the game today between the Mets and the Giants. We've got our dinner coming up. I've got to pick a date today.
Okay.
It's probably going to be August 28th or maybe September 1st, but that'll be coming up pretty soon. So we got to get it picked up today, and maybe we'll pick some winners out tomorrow when Raff is back. Bruce Jenkins with us. It's time to look through the window of baseball with Bruce, as it's brought to us by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce has a beautiful book out about music. It's doing so well. And he brought his own band here today. Bruce,
yeah,
this is your band that you brought here today.
We got the drums and the stand-up bass today, so we're halfway there.
Nice.
My goodness. All right. The New York Mets. I thought it was Casey Stengel. Can anyone here play this game last night?
I was looking around for Elio Chacon. You know, Roger Craig was on that 62 Mets. He was one of the few distinguished characters. But the Giants are really catching the Mets at a good time.
Yeah.
The perfect time. The games are here. The Mets are in shambles. Terry Collins is tearing his hair out. And it's just, it's good. And, you know, the Giants deserve a little bit of break like that. They've had so many line drives caught and near miss here and there and bad breaks, so this is coming their way. It's a good sign.
Well, they're getting hot at the right time. And again, if you judge baseball by maybe 30-game increments or things like that, as Joe Maddon does with the Cubs, and if you look at it that way, they went through a bad 30 games, and now the trend changes, and you got to pitch, you got to hit, you got to catch the ball, and now they're starting to do some of those things.
Yeah, I think Pence's return has made so much difference. I mean, he's such a spark plug. He makes the great catches. He's made a couple just recently. He's getting the hits. And just the sight of him is inspiring, and everybody in the team knows it. A lot of great things happen. You know, the big smile on Bochy's face when Bumgarner went deep. You know,
wow.
You don't see that very often during a game. And I think everybody feels that it's, you know, they're not going to win the next 12, but it's a different feeling right now.
You know, the Mets last night, again, there was some great first base play last night. I mean, you saw James Loney and Belt turn that 3-6-3 or the 3-6-1.
Yes.
And it really, just a pleasure to see that. When Ron Wotus will be with us tomorrow, we'll talk to the professor about that. But then the Mets started running the bases.
Whoa.
And, and here they're trying to hold the guy up at third. And we've seen this before, and Jose Reyes is not looking. It was his problem.
Jeez.
Lugo could have gotten back, but...
Lugo is their best base runner.
Really? And he was their best pitcher, I'll tell you that. 69 pitches in 7 innings. That was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
But it reminded me of the old Casey Stengel story, and this is how hapless the Mets were at 62. And I swear, last night, with balls falling in the outfield and errors and all this kind of overthrows at the plate, it looked like the beginning of the Met franchise. And they had a player named Marv Thornberry, and he was a former New York Yankee, and he was a good hitter.
Lefty hitter, first baseman.
Yeah, in Denver, in the American Association, he'd drive in 140 runs and all that kind of stuff. And he was on the bases, and he's running the bases, and he gets to third base, and the other team appeals, and they say, well, yeah, he was out, you know, for missing second base. And Casey Stengel comes running out and starts arguing that he had touched second base. And the first base coach, Eddie Yost, says, Casey, don't argue because he missed first base, too.
I think he forgot his belt, too.
And that was the whole thing. You know, he didn't touch first either, so don't worry about it. But that's what we saw last night.
Yep.
But how do you like Bumgarner, Bruce? And look, this is 4-0. You get squeezed a little bit. Here we are with the umpiring again. Ruggiano then hits one out, and then he comes back and hits a huge home run.
Crazy.
And the foul home run that he hit was just a bomb.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the guy's, he spanked a single, or a line drive out to center, just hammered that. The guy's just a good hitter. What a great, great thing. And, you know, Bochy's been defending him all year. You know, when they have abandoned the DH, he's got some heat for that, or pinch hits him here, but it's all justified. And not only that, everybody on the club loves it. It's a great sight for the fans, and he doesn't let you down. He'll go up there and spank the ball.
That was an amazing moment because of what all you have said, what happened in the top of the fourth, and for him to come back, aided by his teammates, Nunez. They were, between Nunez and Bumgarner, they were 1-for-37 with runners in scoring position. That's Nunez as a Giant, and then Bumgarner 0-for-17 on the season. Now, look, I'm not being a homer here. I'm not throwing red meat to the audience. Chris Bryant would be the leader in the clubhouse for MVP. But Bumgarner, as a starting pitcher, I'm going to say it, maybe a couple of votes. This guy is MVP candidate.
No doubt. I think Daniel Murphy will be in there. Maybe Rizzo from the Cubs as well.
For MVP?
Yeah.
Well, you could just give the trophy to Chris Bryant.
I know he's the leader.
He's the leader,
but Bumgarner deserves a couple of tips of the cap.
If they get to the postseason, which I'm sure they will, without a doubt. His value in so many ways, pitching, hitting, emotionally.
And
everybody in the league knows this guy's just a stud. You know, everybody was shocked to see him go up the slam, and they were just completely, no surprise that he pitched great from then on. He wasn't rattled. I personally think I'd only vote for position players for MVP, but I think he will get a couple votes.
Deservedly.
Pat, you wanted to mention the Cincinnati pitcher last night. You know, you look for stories of baseball. This was a good one.
Unbelievable story. Michael Lorenzen, his father had passed away unexpectedly Wednesday. Michael Lorenzen decides that playing might help him grieve a little bit easier. Brian Price puts him into the game last night and then decides to let him bat in the bottom of the inning. And he takes Baez deep on a 97-mile-an-hour heater on an 0-2 count with two outs. And he just, he just let the tears flow once he got to the dugout. Truly, this guy, he's a member of the God Squad, and I just loved every moment of that game last night.
Yeah, and his dad, they had a really special relationship. It wasn't like they were estranged or something. He was the reason that he played and the reason he kept playing and inspiring him when things didn't look so good. And you know, the kid was in tears within seconds of the home run. By the time he got the dugout, he was struggling to get it together, and everybody on the team was just loving it. Once again, a pitcher hitting makes such a big difference. It's such a great thing when Bumgarner or this kid or whoever it is. Bartolo Colon's going to single up the middle today. He is.
You know, John said it last night. Part of the excitement, or Dwayne said, I forget who, is watching this guy swing the bat.
So hilarious.
You know, it's Mickey Lolich reincarnated here, back on the mound. Mickey Lolich with the big pot belly for the Tigers in the late 60s. So it's fun to see players like that in baseball. Bruce, looking at the things that Rob Manfred says lately, and I realize, look, baseball is a game, they want to keep it the same, but then again, the times have changed, and people have changed, and, the game within the game, they want to keep the same. But there are elements that it's sort of scary to hear him say, well, maybe there are only 3,000 shifts 5 years ago, now there are 28,000, maybe we have to do something. Maybe there's too many relief pitchers that throw 99 and fans want to see excitement at the end of the game. And can they, he's so open to it. I mean, Judge Landis would be rolling over in his grave. Ford Frick would even be jumping up and down. Happy Chandler couldn't believe it. General Eckert would say, who's this? Uberoth would say, well, pay me first.
Yeah.
And then, Giamatti would write a poem about it. Faye Vincent would do a movie. And Bud Selig would sell cars.
Save that tape, Pat. That's a classic rundown of your commissioners in a nutshell. That's beautiful. He doesn't get it, Marty. First of all, I think shifts are peaking right now in baseball. You know who shifts the least in baseball? The Cubs.
Yeah.
They shift the least, and they're running away with it. There's always going to be shifts. I don't think it'll ever be as radical as it is right now because things just change. It doesn't work for teams. The Giants have toned it down a little bit. You know, they've got their numbers, but Wotus will let the game dictate it, and all of a sudden we're not shifting here. But Manfred, before the season started, on television, he said, I'd like to eliminate shifts. And it was like, huh, and everybody got on him. Now he's talking about it again. He doesn't get it. What are you going to tell a guy where to play?
Yeah.
You can play all nine guys at third if you want. You can. And it's baseball. And what if you restrict shifts, you got to stand inside a little box here? Oh, well, hey, he's 2 feet out. Timeout.
Yeah.
Well, you can't guard the line now? That's a shift.
Yeah.
It's
truly
bizarre. It's unbelievable stupidity. Yeah, but with all the proposals that Manfred's made, including going back to 154 games and the pitch clock and the shifts and the anti-shift, none of them have come to pass yet. So is this guy all bark and no bite, or do you think anything? Which of these proposals is the most likely to pass?
Well, they're talking about pitch clocks. There's a very distinct difference between umpires with a little clock that nobody can see but him, telling guys to speed things up, and an actual clock that everyone can see, which is totally not baseball. I mean, it might work in Double A, where everybody's just kind of relaxing, but you imagine Game 7 of the World Series and somebody's out there, yeah, needs a little extra time, and all of a sudden it's 3-2-1 and all the fans are chanting? What sport is that?
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Nah.
But they will try to speed up getting rid of the ball and fines.
Yeah,
and
I'm all
like
for that. Get in the box. Yeah. You know, stop dawdling out there.
That'll happen.
And what I suggested was that in the first half of next season, there's no penalties, but the umps are, they're probably just one umpire in charge of that. And he's vigilant about it. He reminds guys, he goes, listen, this, you know, second half of the season, we're going to start cracking down. You better get your routine together now, because after that, it's going to be, I don't want to see balls and strikes called, but,
no,
you know, fines and whatever. But they started to do that last year, then they backed off. Because the umps, I don't think, really wanted to enforce it because they love the game too much.
Oh, I forgot Bowie Kuhn.
Yeah,
my friend Mark Diamond. Bowie Kuhn would be...
He'd be in a T-shirt in a snowstorm.
He would be saying, there's no problem here.
Yeah.
Free agency, we're not going to have it. There's no problem. Don't worry. You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bowie would say, we have no problem
there's
here.
There's no problem. Yeah.
No, thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. I did forget Bowie Kuhn. All right.
Very good.
You wrote about Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart and what's going on in Arizona. Now, of course, those names in the Bay Area think of Tony La Russa,
yeah,
Dave Stewart. They're untouchable. But they actually may have messed it up down there in Arizona.
I think I like both of those guys a lot. I covered the A's, you know, when they were in their glory, and I love Tony. I love his passion. And, of course, Stewart, you know, all those matchups against Roger Clemens. You're looking at one of the great clutch pitchers of all time. But I kind of wonder if both of those guys have gone a step too far in their careers. You know, Stewart, he never struck me as a guy who should be, you know, pulling the strings. He's a competitor. He's a ball player. And La Russa, I thought... That seemed to make some sense, but, I mean, to trade away a great prospect like Swanson that everybody thought was a can't-miss, and two other valuable guys for Shelby Miller, I mean, nobody expected him to be as bad as he's been. I mean,
yeah,
they sent him to the minors, for heaven's sakes, but that was just a ridiculous trade. Keith Law wrote a piece where he ran down a whole bunch of other stuff that they've really blown, bad, bad mistakes, and they don't have money now. They did the Greinke thing. The future is not looking that good.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Miller, and I forget, you know, I listen to so many things during the week. It may have been our guys, it may have been on MLB Network. But someone said, you know, when St. Louis gives up on a guy,
yeah,
and Atlanta gives up on a guy, they seem to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's the Shelby,
yeah,
Miller story.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there was a little signpost there that maybe this guy is not what he seemed. And, you know, he had a kind of a checkered career anyway, so... To put all that and, you know, to give away a great shortstop, like a good-looking shortstop.
He's playing now.
He's,
yep,
playing. And
Swanson's 333.
Yeah,
he's up
two hits
in
his first game right away.
Did you see him?
Yeah, yeah.
Ball was up and away, and he just smacked
absolutely
it into right field. I mean, that was bat control.
Yeah, that's like Giants baseball.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Well, you know, here we go. 40 to go, and as I tell people, we've said it, you and I, the whole season, it's appropriate. This is what a pennant race is all about. You're up by one, down by one. You're in first, you're in second,
yep,
and it all sets up for what's going to happen between Giants-Dodgers the rest of the way. Isn't it amazing?
For them to have three more series is just a magical thing. I'm actually going to be in L.A. for these Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday,
yeah,
writing columns every night. I can't wait, because that's going to say a lot. You know, it's not going to say everything. I mean, the judgments will be made that get reversed, you know, 2 weeks later, but we'll learn a little bit more. You know, the Giants, it's a big series for Will Smith,
mm-hmm,
because the Dodgers are loaded with left-handed hitters. Lots of situations for him.
Yeah.
He's going to have to come through. He's been a little spotty, but that'll be a good spot for him.
All right, fine. All right, Bruce, thanks for being here. You got the family with you today?
Martha and Molly are here.
All right, wonderful.
All going to enjoy the game.
Great to see you.
You bet.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right, that is a great Bruce Jenkins.
Yeah.
All right.
Love him.